Go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back, joined as we have the privilege of being each week about this time by Kevin Freeman, our senior fellow responsible for economic warfare at the Center for Security Policy. He is also the driving force behind a very important web resource, globaleconomicwarfare.com. And you can also check out his two best-selling books, Game Plan and Secret Weapon. Really extraordinarily valuable resources for insights into how economic warfare has been waged against the United States, and most of us are unaware it's even going on. Kevin, it's good to have you back. Welcome.
Thank you, Frank.
I know one of the things that has been a preoccupation for you, and as a result, I've been worrying about as well for a long time now, is the seemingly concerted efforts being made, mostly behind the scenes, I think it's fair to say, at least until recently, by Russia, by China, by even some of our putative friends in the Middle East and others, to displace the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. Before we get into some of the specifics of how that's now playing out seemingly more aggressively by the day, Kevin Freeman, let me ask you to just explain why the stakes are so high if that kind of gambit succeeds.
Certainly. When you have the reserve currency of the world, that means every nation that sells things in the world sells them in your currency. That means that when nations build up excess reserves, like China has done, they use those reserves and they buy into your currency. And how they do that is they buy our debt. They buy U.S. Treasury bonds. It's kind of gone unceremoniously past the American public, but we now owe $20 trillion in debt. And that is up from more than double from where we were just before the financial crisis. We were in the $9 to $10 trillion range, which means that our federal government is constantly looking for people who will buy that debt so we can continue to operate. Now, it wouldn't be as big a problem if we were planning on having budget balanced going forward, but there's no plan to balance the budget. And in fact, the debt was $18.1 trillion 2 years ago in September of 2015, and it's $20.1 trillion today. So it's actually gone up about $1 trillion a year. And you can do that if people think that you're worth it and they continue to want to loan you money. But if they stop buying your currency and stop buying your debt, then bad things happen. It's like running out of credit on your credit card for a family and not having enough income to cover your expenses.
So let's then talk about, with that rather ominous forecast, what these countries, again, some of them explicitly hostile to us, some of them certainly potentially so, are doing to actually supplant the U.S. dollar. I guess we should start with the petrodollar application.
Sure. One of the ways that during the Nixon administration, when the OPEC issues were happening, we sort of struck a deal. OPEC, we will pay you and you set the oil price and we'll pay you for the oil, but you turn around and recycle that money back into our treasury debt. So the Middle Eastern nations built up huge holdings of our debt. China, the same thing. You know, we'll buy your goods and services that you're selling, but you turn around and recycle it back into dollars. And China has been doing that for years, and now they're one of the largest holders of our debt. A few years ago, however, with the financial crisis in particular, Vladimir Putin looked at that and said, wow, I think America has caused this financial crisis with their housing problems and all the other things, although we know, as we've talked about, that he was actually had a hand in making it happen. But why are they profiting from it? The cost of borrowing for our federal government actually declined during our own financial crisis, and he said that's patently unfair, and he began to push other nations to say America has an unfair advantage because of the reserve currency, and we've got to eliminate it. And he's convinced, eventually convinced China, he's convinced the BRICS nations, Brazil, Russia, India, and China, which would include some allies. And he's beginning to convince those certain elements in the Middle East. So it's a bunch of our enemies who want to see the dollar removed so that we wouldn't be able to fund our military and fund American strength abroad. And it is some of our allies who see that as giving us as an unfair advantage in the world in the long run. And it's really growing. It's growing like the movement that's been taking place over whether you bow for the flag or not. You know, it was just one person, quarterback in San Francisco, and now it's whole teams that are refusing to bow. Same thing with this particular instance. Whole groups of nations are now saying, wait, why is the dollar the reserve currency again? Why does America? And so this movement is working against us, but we're acting as if the dollar will be the permanent reserve currency forever and always and continuing to run up debt. This is an alarm bell going off, and it should be a reason for us to manage our budget and also manage our alliances.
Kevin, one of the countries that has featured prominently since Donald Trump came into office, as you know, as more of an ally than a sometime partner and often enabler of the jihadist threat that it actually is, namely the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia. Partly this is a function of the commitments that have been made, we're told, by this crown prince, Mohammed bin Sultan, to sell a portion of Saudi Aramco on the capital markets in Wall Street and, as you say, to invest some of the proceeds of that sale in the United States. There are some, including our friend Rich Higgins, who have warned that this may simply be the vehicle through which some of this displacement of the dollar takes place. Do you agree with that? And if so, how might that happen?
I believe that's a great potential risk. The Saudis are in a bind because they started an oil war they couldn't finish, and they lowered the price of crude and American ingenuity, dropped the cost of production down to match them.
Let me just interject to say, started an oil war with us, right?
Yes, absolutely. They began it. They said, we're going to drive the price of oil down and drive American shale producers out of business. And our American shale community was actually remarkably resilient. They lowered their costs. And so Saudi Arabia is no longer in control of the world's oil market like they were before. But that put them in a world of hurt. When you have $100 a barrel oil, you have twice the income as when you have $50 a barrel oil if that's your main export, your main business. Saudi Arabia does one thing well. They produce oil. And so now they've cut their income in half, which has put them in an enormous cash bind. And to solve that cash bind, they said, we'll sell 5% of Saudi Aramco, maybe for as much as $100 billion. And now they're using that as leverage to say, well, America, you buy it and you need to invest here. But maybe China wants to buy it. And the Chinese, if they did buy that position, they could process the production and sale of oil in Chinese currency, in SDRs from the International Monetary Fund, in gold, special drawing rights, or any of a number of other options other than the dollar, which would just knock that pillar out from underneath the dollar and make our currency one among many. That is a play Rich talked about, and he's totally right. That is a play that they could go to China and say, you're going to be the largest consumer of oil going forward. It had been America, but it is now China, and therefore we want to use the Chinese yuan to price oil. And if they did that, that would be potentially devastating for our economy.
Well, that's one way that scenario plays out. Another, of course, is the Chinese tell the Saudis, this is how we're going to do it. But either way, it's going to be bad for America and certainly bad for our security as well as our economy. We have to leave it at that, I'm afraid, for the moment, Kevin Freeman. But as always, we appreciate the work that you do at globaleconomicwarfare.com. I commend it to all of you as required reading. And we look forward to talking with you again about it next week. We look forward to talking to the rest of you about all of these issues and more tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.